Thank you, Rabbi Billa. What a delight to see all of you and so many friends from different parts of my life. It's great to see almost everybody here. Thank you. So, happy Thanksgiving and happy Hanukkah. That's the order in which you're supposed to say it. Malon B'Kodesh. You go up. Great for a rabbi to be invited to speak on a Thanksgiving that coincides with Hanukkah, so there's no problem about what to speak about. And I urge you to invite me again 750 years from now when we will once again have this correspondence. It's the easiest of all to be able to talk about. I have a great shiur in store for you where I want to talk about the correspondence from a different perspective. I don't know if you know that the pilgrims, when they decided to make Thanksgiving, said that they were supposed to do that because in the Bible, which they knew very well, when they finally had a good harvest, they had the festival of Sukkot, and they made Thanksgiving to correspond to the biblical yontif of Sukkot. That correspondence is something that I want to show you halachically and hashkafically by delving into the deeper meaning of Hanukkah. And I know you so often hear about the deeper meaning, but I'm going to tell you something that is absolutely incredible. And in spite of the fact that Rabbi Billa made fun of my predicting Mashiach, I am going to conclude with a prediction. And it's something that I shared with Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, and they said, that's absolutely fascinating, and most of them agreed with me. So let's begin this shiur with a great question. You know that halachically, we are obligated to recognize a miracle with a bracha. The bracha is She'asa nisim lavosenu bayamim ha'heim bazman hazeh. We say it two times, that is to say on two occasions. And one is Hanukkah, and the other is Purim. She'asa nisim lavosenu, who performed miracles for our ancestors, bayamim ha'heim, in those days. What's bazman hazeh? There's machlokus achronim, there's machlokus Eitz Yosef and Levush as to what Bazman Hazeh means. In the Siddurim, you get different translations. And now, very often I see, Bayamim Ahem, in those days, Bazman Hazeh at this season. In those days, at the season of what? At the season of Thanksgiving? No, they didn't mean that. At the season of winter, at the season of Kislev. That's not the way most commentators learn. Most commentators agree with the Levush. Bayamim ha'heim, in those days, bazman hazeh, and at this season, at this time as well. We hope to see comparable miracles in our days as well. That will be important for later in the shiur. But what do we see? That a miracle requires a bracha, and a day of miracles, festival, requires us to say this particular bracha. So I asked you a question. It's not original with me. The Kedushas HaLevi raised it, except I want to expand upon it. Do we say this bracha on Pesach? No. I don't remember saying it any time on Pesach. Tell me, were there miracles on Pesach? You bet your life. There were so many miracles, I would think that they beat the miracle of a little flask of oil that could only burn for one night that lasted for eight. I think the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea, I think the whole Pesach story beats Hanukkah in terms of Nisim. And so, the obvious question is, why don't we say Al HaNisim on Pesach? More. Let's expand it a little bit. I'm really surprised that the Kedushas Levi only asked it with regard to Pesach. I would say that we have the three historic biblical holidays known as the Shlosh Regalim, which all are replete with miracles. Pesach is obvious. Shavuos, it wasn't just Kabbalah HaTorah. I mean, there was a mountain over our heads and God said, you accept, fine, if not, I'll drop it. And we're standing under this mountain and the mountain doesn't drop. I think that's a miracle. I think the fact that Chazal tell us when God spoke, Roim et Hakolot, they saw the voices. I don't know exactly what that means. In some way, the sound became visible as words so that there should be no disparity between what they were listening to and what they actually could visualize. What a remarkable miracle. It says, V'cholam roim et hakolot, and all the people saw, says Rashi, quoting a midrash. What do you mean, all the people? Some people must have been blind. There are always some blind people. How could they see? And so Rashi says, the blind became healed, and because they walked to the mountain, the people who were lame became healed, etc., etc. There were tons of miracles, is what I'm trying to explain to you. And that was Shavuos. There's no Al HaNisim on Shavuos. And then Sukkos. What is Sukkos other than a 40-year long story of miracles? The Anane HaKavod, or the real Sukkot, whichever way you learn Pshat, you're familiar with the Machloket. The Sukkahs correspond either to the clouds of glory that followed them, covered them, prevented them from being smitten by the sun and by other aspects of desert where people can't survive. 40 years they survived. And then there was the miracle food and the miracle water. I'm not belaboring the point, I'm really stressing it. I'm indicating to you that Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are filled with miracles, and if the law is, as we see from Purim and Hanukkah, that a miracle requires a bracha, and there's a formula for the bracha, there's a fixed text for the bracha, why? I wish I had a blackboard, but it's going to be helpful to you if you visualize it this way. Three, Shlosh Regalim. Loaded with miracles, all three, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, no Al HaNisim, and here you got these two, Hanukkah and Purim. Okay, miracles. Hanukkah, little flask of wine, miracle, okay. Purim, Baruch Hashem, when we don't get killed, that's a miracle, right? That's a miracle. That's such a big miracle. Hanukkah, Purim, Al HaNisim, right? That's a very good question. I'd like to show you that that question can already be asked earlier than with the appearance of the holidays of Hanukkah and Purim. It can be asked on a story in the Chumash. The Jews come out of Egypt. After a lengthy story, as we said, filled with miracles, 10 plagues, and then Yam Suf. The Egyptians are encouraged to run after the Jews. God leaves one idol standing. They think that they can make it. They can destroy the Jews. They run after them. Right, they get drowned. The Jews sing Shira. Fine. We can only sing Shira for a little while because it doesn't take long until we're attacked again. And which story follows immediately upon Kriyas Yam Suf, the attack of Amalek? Now watch this carefully. I don't know if you want to look inside or you don't want to look inside. It's really not necessary. They asked me for a sheet, you know, to give it to you, but you can follow me. Vayavar Amalek, Vayilachim Im Yisrael Be'arfidim. So Amalek comes, and they attack the Jews. So Moshe says to Yehoshua, choose some men and go and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to stand at the top of the hill. The Matan Elohim will be in my hand. Yehoshua goes and he chooses an army. We're going to discuss shortly how you choose a Jewish army. Who do you pick for the army? The Gemara discusses that. We'll talk about it in a minute. What could the possibilities be? There are two options for choosing an army. What would you say? You have a Amalek. They look like they're going to kill us. We got to take our best men. What are the two options available? One. Tell me. Oh, Jabarim. Let's find out. Who are strong guys? Guys, hustles. Guys, really, the stalkers, right? That's one theory. What's another theory? How are we going to win? There's only one way we're going to win it. Gott wird helfen. You know, we need God. So let's go and find all the guys who sit and learn all day, right? The guys who go to the early minyan, and they stick around all the time, and they're really the frummies. And you tell them to move a chair, they say, oi, oi, there, Kendelstein, you know, help me get the Gemara. But they're the frum ones. They're the pious ones, right? They're the ones who are going to get God to be of assistance. So who do you pick? There's a machlokas in the Gemara. There's always a machlokas, right? So one man, the other says Gibborim, the other guy says the Starkas, and the other one says Yireyachet, the guys who will fear sin, the frummies. So Rashi, very interestingly enough, and this is a question that I want to go off on, Rashi says, and I have it here, Gibborim v'Yireyachet, both. A combo. Don't rely totally on a miracle. You know, you're going to get the guys who could hardly move. No, stalkers, but the stalker frimmer. And there must be some of these. There were. So, Moshe goes up on the mountain, and who goes with him? Who goes with him? Sitting on top there, his hands are lifted in prayer, and Aaron and Hur, Hur is Miriam's son, are on either side of him, and they're holding up his hands in prayer. And when he's praying like this, the Jews who are fighting win. I mean, it looks like the tide is turning for them. They're on the 5-yard line, right? They're doing great. I'm using a football allusion because it's Thanksgiving, so it's very important, right, to get that in. So they're very close. Moshe gets tired. The minute he puts his hands down, Amalek starts to win. So they make sure to keep his hands up. The Gemara asks, are his hands really in control? No. But when his hands are up, the Jews are looking up to God, and they realize it's God. God would help him. Puts his hand down, they're depending on themselves. Anyhow, Moshe holds his hands up long enough, and the Pasuk says, and Yehoshua weakened Amalek. Why doesn't the Pasuk say destroyed Amalek? Because they're not destroyed. Because we still have Amalek to this day. So we weakened them. And that particular battle we won. Now here's the punchline. Vayivin Moshe Mizbeach. In order to commemorate the victory, Moshe builds a Mizbeach. You know that armies, America does this, you build a monument and you have the hero. Well, we didn't do that, but Moshe built a Mizbeach and he gave it a name so that from then on, whenever people passed that altar, they would know that on this spot something happened. And what? Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach, Vayikra Shemo, and he called its name, the name of the altar, Hashem Nisi. You recognize the word? Nisi, Nes, Nisi. God is my miracle. And this God is going to fight the battle against the Amalek from generation to generation. But Moshe Rabbeinu built this Mizbeach. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want the answer from a lot of you. Why do you have to build a Mizbeach? What was the purpose of building a Mizbeach whose name would be Hashem Nisi, my Lord, Hashem is my miracle? And it should be a sign there. So it should fulfill what mitzvah? And what other mitzvah that you know of on Hanukkah? To fulfill what specific mitzvah? Pirsumei Nisa. Publicizing a miracle. Exactly, right? Here's this altar now. Anyone who comes by is going to see. I mean, they'll say, what is this called? This is Hashem Nisi. Oh, because a miracle happened here. Got that? Moshe Rabbeinu felt it necessary to commemorate the spot and what happened and the miracle. Hashem Nisi. Here's my great question. Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me, when you were in Egypt and you saw Dam, the Nile turning to blood, did you make a Mizbeach and say Hashem Nisi? When you saw Tzvadeya, Kinim, Orok, Deber, Shechem, Borel, Abachot, Shemakos, Poyos, nothing. Then you went ahead and you crossed the Yamsuf. You got to the other side safely and the Egyptians drowned. As a matter of fact, Rashi tells us the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on shore so that every Jew could see his taskmaster. Imagine if the Jews who survived the Holocaust could then see the guys who whipped them, the guys who tortured them, see them dead. That's what God gave them as a schus. So they see that. And Moshe's on the shore. That is an incredible miracle. So what's the kasha? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu there build a Mizbeach and say, I want to remember forever that there was a miracle here and do Pirsumei Nisa for that story? So now, do you remember the blackboard, the imaginary blackboard that I put up here? I'm going to expand and illustrate. Here you have three biblical holidays that do not have Al HaNisim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and as a matter of fact, as I just told you, the Pesach story with all of its miracles, even at the end, had nothing. No commemoration of a miracle, no bracha, sha'asa nisim l'avaseinu, no pirsumei nisa, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. On the other side, we have now three, not two, but three miracles with proclamations. And what are the three? There's, of course, Hanukkah and Purim. And the third now is this story. This story of beating Amalek, building a Mizbeach, and saying Hashem Nisi. Interesting. So I throw out to you, what's the difference between this and this? And why are these not miracles? And why are these, yes, miracles, which demand a bracha and commemoration and pirsumei nisa? The answer is extremely profound and is built into our understanding of the difference between two Hebrew words. Hebrew is such an incredible language that its words recognize fine distinctions. In English, we say it's a miracle. And we say it's a miracle for the sun standing still. And we say it's a miracle. I got up this morning, I was so tired. I mean, you use the word miracle very indiscriminately. In Hebrew, there are two different words with two different meanings that describe two different kinds of miracles. One is nes, that you know from Hanukkah, nes, nisim, miracle. The other is pele, pele. How do you translate pele? Don't translate it miracle, translate it a little bit better. Now, it's amazing that I think in Fiddler on the Roof they got it. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. I know I can't sing, but I, yeah. Wonder, wonder is a pillar, and miracle is an ace. What is the difference? When the plague strike, that's a pillar. That is clearly nature being turned around, not following its rules. That's God's demonstration of his power. That's incredible. The sun stands still, that's a pillar. The sea splits, that's a pillar. Those are all wonders. What's a nace? What is the word nace related to in Hebrew? Watch this. This is so incredibly profound. The word nace is related to the word nistar. Nistar. And nistar means what? Hidden. A nace is a miracle that is a miracle, but God's role in it is hidden. Tell me, with regard to Purim, what is unusual about the book Megillas Esther that makes it different than any other book in Tanakh? God's name doesn't appear even once. So where is God? What's the answer? He is hidden. God is there, but you got to know how to find him. You have to gain the ability to understand that even if it is not, the sea splits. The Levine Shalom Theater Belt. And behind the scenes, it is God who is doing this. So, nace is nister. And one other thing. One other thing. The word nace is related to yet one more word. And if you see the connection, you're brilliant. Velokim nisa es Abraham. And God tested Abraham. The word also means test. What's the connection? Because in every nace, God is hidden, and your mission is to see if you can understand. You're being tested to see if you can understand that it's still Bani Shalom. I've got to tell you a great story. I was in Los Angeles just recently. Now, some years ago, I had been working with somebody who was a script writer. He's a great script writer in L.A. And he became frum. He became Baal Tshuva. He's a solid Baal Tshuva. And he became, you know, about Baal Tshuva. They're really into it. So there are vanity plates in Los Angeles. He bought himself a vanity plate, halacha. I said, why'd you get halacha? He says, I wanted people to follow halacha. So he's driving around with halacha. So he tells me this story. One time, he's driving, and all of a sudden, there's a guy who pulls up alongside of him, and he's beeping him, pull over, pull over. First, you're afraid, but then it looks like a normal guy, and it seems like he has something very important to tell him. He pulls over. The guy says to him, I have to tell you something amazing. So you know, I've been struggling with something. I came from a religious home. I've been going with a girl who's not Jewish. I decided to make a break and to marry her, but then all of a sudden I got pangs of conscience and I don't know what to do. And finally I said, as I'm driving, God, if you don't want me to go with this girl, you don't want me to beg, send me a sign. And the next thing I know, I'm driving back to you and it says halacha. That's an incredible story. People who remember me from my old show, I have tons of stories like that. Because invariably I find God feared the belt. But you have to be able, it's a nisayon, it's a test, to be able to see the nister. And the nister is an ace. And what do the three things on this blackboard have in common? Tell me again the three things on this blackboard. Purim, Hanukkah, and Amalek. Right. Purim, I just told you. Purim was a miracle. We say it was a miracle. So, what was the miracle? The miracle was that when Esther told the king, and these are my people, he listened. The fact that a husband listens to his wife is a miracle, right? Yeah. It's not such a miracle. I do it all the time. We all do it. You know, we may do it with a crutch. My wife is giving me a look here, you know. But the point of the story really is that in Megillas Esther, God is hidden. Heinrich Heine made fun, and he said, if Esther's nose would have been 2 inches longer, the whole story wouldn't have happened. Because she wouldn't have been beautiful. It wouldn't have... Exactly, but it wasn't. And when he went to sleep, when he couldn't go to sleep, and he said, read me, and they read him that part, and what do we call those things? Coincidence. Coincidence after coincidence. Coincidence is God's way of choosing to remain anonymous. Coincidence is God working behind the scenes. You have to reveal the hidden. Esther min ha-Torah min ayin. Where do we know Esther from the Torah? V'anochi haster aster esponai. I will hide my face. So you have to uncover God when God is hiding. How do you say to uncover in Hebrew? To be megale. To be megale. What is the entire story of the book of Esther? Megillat Esther. To be megale Esther the hidden. To be megala, to reveal the nishtar. When you do that, you have an obligation to make a bracha proving that you understand that it's God and that you know that it's a miracle. And there is a mitzvah, pirsume nisa, to be mefarsem, to publicize that it was really God, because you might not realize it. Because it's a test for you to realize it. Why don't these three over here, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, have a bracha of She'osa Nisim? Why isn't there a mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa? Because they're not Nes, they're Pella. Pirsume Pella doesn't exist because a Pella doesn't need Pirsum. A Pella speaks for itself. You don't have to be mefarsim when the sun stands still, when the sea splits, when the plagues hit. You don't have to say, boy, that must have been God. Everybody knows that. That's clear. When God is clear, you don't have to say she'osa nisim to indicate that you know that it's a nes. But when God is hidden, then you have to demonstrate that you understand his role. And where was God hidden? So, in the Purim story, you all know. And everybody here knew God's name doesn't even appear once in the Megillah. Wow. And you know the entire story. It's coincidence after coincidence. Where at the end you say, that must have been a miracle. And of course there'll be a misnagid who will say, what's the miracle? Look, okay, she was beautiful. Listen, right? Where there is still room for disagreement and you need religious sensitivity, then you have to make a bracha to indicate that you are amongst those who recognize and acknowledge and know and realize that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tell me why the same thing is true with regard to Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah a nes and not a pella? Rabbim b'yad miyatim, tveim b'yad tahorim, mishorim b'yad tzadikim. There was a war. Now, when there was a war in Israel in 67, there were bumper stickers afterwards that said, Tnu kavod l'tzahal, give glory to Tzahal, because we did it! We, the Starkers! But please remember, it wasn't only Starkers, that's what we said it for. Right? Please remember, there was also Yerachet. But when there is a battle and there is a military victory, it is more than conceivable that there will be those who say, so it's not a miracle. Sometimes the weaker beat the stronger because they feel more the justice of their cause. So 7 nations and 25 million Arabs attack Israel, which at that time was a nothing in population, 600,000, and Israel wins, is not a miracle because, You have to be sensitive to the fact that even when human beings are involved, even when there is a battle, even when there is a military victory, it wasn't the soldiers, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So along comes a wise guy and asks me, yeah, Rabbi, but you're missing the point of Hanukkah. The point of Hanukkah is that the little cruise of oil lasted for 8 days. She only lasted for one. So that's a real pella. That's a real, real miracle. A wonder. Did you ever notice the Elohim prayer? Yachai came bo vo necho lidbir esecho. Ufinu esecho lecho vetiras mikdashecho. Behidliku neros b'chatzros kodshecho, and they lit candles. V'kavu shmonis mechanukah. What's missing? Doesn't say anything about the candles burning longer than, because that's not an ace, that's a pella. Now it is true that in the Hanukkah story, at the very, very end, God made one pella in order to retroactively make us aware that everything was from Him. Yes, but the entire story, the military victory, was just like which story? Purim, Hanukkah, and Melchemes Amalek. And in Melchemes Amalek, what was Moshe afraid of? He didn't have that fear after the plagues. He didn't have that fear after Kriyas Yamsuf. But he says, now we're walking away and we are liable to say, Tnu Kavod Latzahal. We are liable to say, we won. We beat Amalek. Boy, we're good. Boy, we're strong. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, this is as much a miracle as the pella and pella and pella that you had before. Before I didn't have to do a pesume pella. Pella speaks for itself, as I said. But now, when you might mistakenly attribute it to your own power, that's why I have to build a Mizbeach and call it Hashem Nisi. Right? Right. So, now we come to a prediction. All right, Bill is not here. He won't be able to make fun of me. Right? I will tell you the last part of this drush, which is original. And I think 100% true. Of course, it's original. I think it's true. But we'll leave it for you to decide. I now find something very fascinating in the structure of the Jewish holidays. We have, biblically, three historic holidays. Midaraisa, there are five Yom Tovim, there's Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and then there's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur are personal holidays, but I mean historic holidays. Dealing with events, commemorating major events, there are three. That's the Sholosh Regalim. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. That's this blackboard. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And they are all, as we've already developed, Pela Ploim. They all represent miracles of a kind that the Hebrew will not use the word nes for, but rather pella. Ve'isi es kol niflosai, you will see all my pilaploim, all my wonders, right? And therefore they don't have a brach of shosanisim. We understand that. They are all defined by God doing it all. There was no human involvement. As a matter of fact, when the Jews stood at the sea, and they didn't know what to do, and they were ready to give up, many of them, what did God say to them? Shah, don't say a word. Hisyatzvu uru'u es Yeshuas Hashem. You'll see the Egyptians dead. Hashem yilochem lochem yatim tachrishim. God will fight for you, and you just shut up. Don't give me any of your lip. It seems Jews never change, right? So, you don't do a thing. What was God saying? I'll do it all. Because this was the beginning of Jewish history, and they weren't able, really, a generation of slaves, to do anything. It was in Mechamas HaMolech that God finally says, but this time round, B'char lonu anoshim, choose men, and I want you to be involved. But Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, all Pella, all God. Now, again, three over here, the three historic holidays, and we see what they have in common. Wonders, not miracles, not the way we use the word miracle. Wonders, Pella, not Nes. Good. Now, on this side, in terms of Yom Tovim, we have two. I know that on this board I also put Mechamas HaMolech. That's like a vision for the future, eventually, that then eventually, then God's name will be complete. Mashiach will come. That's a future thing. But the two on this side, the two holidays, are Purim and Hanukkah. So, watch. Three on this side, there were three biblical holidays. There are two rabbinic holidays. What is the crucial difference between the biblical holidays and the rabbinic holidays? In the biblical holidays, God did it all. And in the rabbinic holidays, God said the following. I'll put it in his mouth. God said, in the old days, I did it all for you. It's time for you to grow up. And you will be grown up when you learn that you have a role to be a shutev in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be a partner with God. And you have to reenact what I did for you in a manner whereby the victory will be not just a Pella where I did it all, but a Nes where we work together. Purim, the Gemara tells us, is connected with one of these three because the Gemara says in the Megillah, it says, kimu v'kiblu, they accepted the makabu, they fulfilled the makabu, kimu mashe kiblu kvar. It seems that at Sinai, the Jews accepted, but it was because the mountain was over their heads. There was an aspect that they didn't accept according to the Gemara and Shabbos. They accepted Torah Shabbat. They didn't accept Torah Shabbat. It wasn't a complete acceptance. What was Purim? The final, full acceptance of what Shavuos had attempted to accomplish. Now watch this, Chab. Say the rabbis. We don't create new holidays out of nothing, out of thin air. We don't have the ability to create new Kedusha. What we can do is to extend Kedusha. Just like Yom Sheni of Yontif, they can extend it. They can extend the first day to a second day. We can extend the Yontif. How long Midaraisa is Shavuos? One day. They see, come see, that the Jews finally now reenacted the essence by Kimu v'Kiblu. They said, let's make another rabbinic Shavuos, which is Purim. Now the Jews are threatened with extinction because they come face to face with the Greek culture, and the Greeks pass laws, and the Greeks want to eliminate Judaism. And if the Pew report would have been written at that time, they would have said, there isn't a chance in the world that Judaism is going to survive. And lo and behold, one family, Matas Yovanov, they go and they achieve the impossible. It was miraculous, but miraculous people with God. The last time round, the Jews should not have survived because of the conditions round about them, because of the environment of the desert, was Sukkot. And Sukkot is how many days? 8 days. When they reenact the miracle of Sukkot, but it's we and God together, then they make a holiday of Hanukkah for 8 days in Megillas Hashmonaim. It didn't make it in Tanakh because it came after the Torah was closed. It says, they made Hanukkah 8 days corresponding to the Yontif of Sukkot. It says so, corresponding to the Yontif of Sukkot. That's why one of the reasons given for Shammai, who say it goes in descending order, Keneged Porei HaChag, corresponding to the sacrifices of Chag of Sukkot, really come to Sukkot. What does it have to do with Sukkot? Has everything to do with Sukkot. And I already told you that Sukkot has everything to do with Thanksgiving, so that's the other link. Wow. So now you have a final question. Final great question. We have three biblical Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. We only have two rabbinic Yom Tovim. The rabbinic Yom Tovim, obviously, now, as you see, are linked to biblical predecessors. Why are there not three rabbinic holidays? Why is there not a third rabbinic holiday corresponding to the Yontif of Pesach, right? It does not have a partner. What is the answer to that question? Thank you. Lubavitcher Rebbe said beautifully, there are only two kinds of Jews, religious Jews and not yet religious Jews. And in answer to Rabbi Billet, who is not here, right, the Mashiach, you said correctly when he said, but I predicted wrong, yet, not yet. Of course he will come. But I want to make the following prediction then. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. And what's he waiting for? This is beautiful to understand. God says, the first time round you were kids. And you know what? When your kid falls down, you pick him up. When he makes a mistake, you help him out. But at a certain point, you say, it's time to grow up. And I'm not going to do everything for you. At least I hope you say that. I'm told that people don't say that anymore to kids. You know, every kid is a winner. You know, they no longer have anybody who comes in first. Everybody comes in first. Everybody gets a prize, right? I hope you tell them, you got to do something now. You have to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I did it all for you on Pesach. And I redeemed you. And that was Geula 1. But we Jews live with the belief of Geula Shlema, a final redemption. How will that final redemption come about? It's fascinating that the Shabbat before Pesach has a name, and it's called Shabbos HaGadol. And there are tons of different attempts to explain why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. And my explanation is because the Shabbos beforehand, God reminds us, I did it for you last time, but now I want you to grow up and I want you to be a Gadol. A Katan is defined in the Gemara how? A Katan is someone who is Somech al Shulchan Aviv. He relies on the table of his father, meaning he doesn't earn a penny, right? And what'd you do for me lately? And whatever you did is wrong anyway, right? So, he's somech al shulchan aviv. And a gadol is somebody who goes out and does it for himself. God is waiting for us to grow up. And to grow up means, this is why I feel so strongly in terms of Israel and those who attack Israel. What are you doing? What do you think? Eretz Yisrael is anything? If Eretz Yisrael is to be something, God will do it. If God doesn't do it, it's nothing. What do you mean if God doesn't do it, it's nothing? God will always do everything, but God wants to do it with us. Like with the Maccabees, like with Esther, like with Melchemes Amalek. And that's why Ksov Zosi, Karim Barsefer, Vesim Biosni Yeshua. And what does it say? Kimocho Emche in one place. And in Kiseitze it says Kimocho Timche Ezechar Amalek. And that seems to be a contradiction. I will eradicate the Zechar Amalek. And then it says you will eradicate Zechar Amalek. And what's the answer? Me and you together. Me and you together. And if you understand that, then you understand the goal of Judaism, to be a partner with God. And then you understand what God is waiting for in order to bring you Geula Shlema. And Baruch Hashem, the fact that we, to some extent, have come to understand that, at least many of us, and in Eretz Yisrael, are prepared to join with God in a kind of Melchama that corresponds to the Maccabees, meaning we don't rely totally on you, It's giborim, but it's also yirachet. We do the combo. And with you together, we will bring about Geula Shlema. That's what God is waiting for. And therefore, my closing prediction. I predict that there will come a time, and it will be b'mehera v'yomeinu, b'zman hazeh. It will be soon. I have on the sheet here, very interesting. You are not allowed, says the Gemara, to pray for a miracle, a kind of miracle that is beyond Teva, that changes Teva. There was a story where a father was destitute. His wife had died. They had a baby. His wife couldn't nurse him. She was dead. And what was he to do? He grew breasts. God gave him breasts, and he was able to nurse his child. So one man, the Yom HaGemara, says, how great is this person that God did it for him? And the other man, the Yom HaGemara, says, no, how come a gua adam zeh, that God had to change creation. And the Gemara concludes, you are not allowed to pray. You are not allowed to pray for a kind of miracle that changes nature. So the question is, how can we pray? According to the Levush that I told you, where we say, Bazman Hazeh, to change nature is forbidden. So how can we ask for a miracle, Bazman Hazeh? We're not asking for a Pella miracle, we're asking for a Nes miracle. And a nace miracle, I didn't finish my prediction yet, but I had to go off on that for a moment. A nace miracle is that we, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we, I mean Hesder, I mean my grandchildren, every one of whom is in Israel, was in the army, is in the army. But I had a tank commander. I had my grandson, who was a tank commander at the age when he didn't have a driver's license. He couldn't drive a car, but he was driving a tank. Very strong, right? Tank commander. And my granddaughter was an army intelligence, translating stuff that the Arabs were sending across. And this is the life of those of us whose families are in Eretz Yisrael. And we know we have to be partners with God. And we, together with him, have to reenact the Pesach story. So the prediction is, when this will be achieved, I say that in the end of days, and I mean soon, there won't be two rabbinic holidays, Hanukkah and Purim. Hanukkah, once again, Keneged Sukkot, and Purim, Keneged Shavuot. But there will be three rabbinic holidays, a third rabbinic holiday corresponding to Pesach, which will have the feature of Geula, with the difference being that it won't be accomplished by Pella, it'll be accomplished by Nista with our involvement. The only thing that we don't know as yet is the name of that third holiday. But since I'm the one who predicted it, I believe it's only fair it should be called Chag HaBlech or something of that sort. There should be some connection, and I leave you with that prediction. Thank you very much.